Welcome to the workshop of Overeaters Anonymous Birthday Weekend, Embrace, Body and Sexuality. Let's start with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I forgot to identify. Hi, I'm Laura. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater and anorexic. Hi, everyone. Each speaker will share their experience, strength, and hope for 12 minutes on how they have come to embrace their body and sexuality. After the speakers, we'll have 20 minutes for the writing portion of this workshop, followed with 30 minutes of open sharing at the podium. The timer will be set for 3 minutes, so please wrap up your share when the timer goes off to allow time for others to share. This workshop is being recorded. If you would like to share, you must fill out a release form, which is located next to the podium. Next to the podium. Because the focus of this workshop is on body and sexuality, let's start by reading pages 68 to 71 in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. You can follow along if you want, if it's on your handout. Now about sex. Many of us needed an overhauling there, but above all, we tried to be sensible on this question. It's so easy to get way off track. Here we find human opinions running to extremes. Absurd extremes. Perhaps one set of voices cry that sex is the last of our lower nature, a base necessity of procreation. Then we have the voices who cry for sex and more sex, who bewail the institution of marriage, who think that most of the troubles of the race are traceable to sex causes. They think we do not have enough of it, or that it isn't that the right kind. They see its significance everywhere. One school would allow man no flavor of his fare, and the other would have us all on a straight pepper diet. We want to stay out of this controversy. We do not want to be the arbiter of anyone's sex conduct. We all have sex problems. We'd hardly be human if we didn't. What can we do about them? We reviewed our own conduct over the years past. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, or inconsiderate? Whom had we hurt? Did we unjustifiably arouse jealousy, suspicion, or bitterness? Where were we at fault? What should we have done instead? We got all this down on paper and looked at it. In this way, we tried to shape a sane and sound ideal for our future sex life. We subjected each relation to this test. Was it selfish or not? We asked God to mold our ideals and help us to live up to them. We remembered always that our sex powers were God-given and therefore good, neither to be used lightly or selfishly, nor to be despised or loathed. Whatever our ideal turns out to be, we must be willing to grow toward it. We must be willing to make amends where we have done harm, provided that we do not bring about still more harm in doing so. In other words, we treat sex as we would any other problem. In meditation, we ask God what we should do about each specific matter. The right answer will come if we want it. God alone can judge our sex situation. Counsel with persons is often desirable, but we let God be the final judge. We realize that some people are as fanatical about sex as others are loose. We avoid hysterical thinking or advice. Suppose we fall short of the chosen ideal and stumble. Does this mean we are going to get drunk? Some people tell us so, but this is only half truth. It depends on us and on our motives. If we are sorry for what we have done and have the honest desire to let God take us to better things, we believe we will be forgiven and will have learned our lesson. If we are not sorry and our conduct continues to harm others, we are quite sure to drink. We are not theorizing. These are facts out of our experience. To sum up about sex, we earnestly pray for the right ideal, for guidance in each questionable situation, for sanity, and for the strength to do the right thing. If sex is very troublesome, we throw ourselves harder into helping others. We think of their needs and work for them. This takes us out of ourselves. It quiets the imperious urge when to yield would mean heartache. If we have been thorough about our personal inventory, we have written down a lot. We have listed and analyzed our resentments. We have begun to comprehend their futility and their fatality. We have commenced to see their terrible destructiveness. We have begun to learn tolerance, patience, and goodwill toward all men, even our enemies, for we look on them as sick people. We have listed the people we have hurt by our conduct, and we are willing to straighten out the past if we can. In this book, you will read again and again that faith did for us what we could not do for ourselves. We hope you are convinced now that God can remove whatever self-will has blocked you off from Him. If you have already made a decision and an inventory of your grosser handicaps, you have made a good beginning. That being so, you have swallowed and digested some big chunks of truth about yourself. Today, our first speaker is Christian.
I am Christian, a compulsive overeater. Wow, sex. Love it. Sex, I'll start off right at the beginning. I'm an openly gay man. I've been living a gay lifestyle for quite some time. And there are interesting dynamics because a lot of people, you know, a lot of times when people think of homosexuals, they think of sex, and particularly with men. And it's interesting that I used to be 508 pounds, and I not only had physical armor, but I also had emotional armor. I didn't want any, people couldn't get physically close to me, nor would I let them get emotionally close to me. People were always at arm's length. And before program, I was so dependent on other people's sexual attraction to me for my self-esteem. Without having, if I didn't have continuous sexual partners, I would not have, I was not worthy. I was not capable of, I didn't have love for myself. And so that put me into a lot of situations where I was allowing myself to be used, to be utilized in, well, in ways that are inappropriate back to lifestyle now. But the hardest part is we build up all that armor, and once that armor starts to go as recovery continues for some of us, and as our emotional armor starts to come down, where does that leave us? For all those decades, I was keeping people away and not opening myself to anything more than just the carnal pleasure of the moment, and not really emotionally connecting with anyone and allowing myself to be utilized as a tool for someone else's pleasure. My pleasure was always secondary. I used to always say, oh, I'm into pleasing others, not me. What a crock. That was just low self-esteem. In this time frame, it's not true. When we're doing that, I always think of this as a swimming pool. You get thrown into the deep end. Because once people, so many, I hear my sponsor in my head, so I'll say, my experience in the program is that losing the weight, becoming smaller is the solution. I believe that when I walked into these doors. I now know much more. God, thank goodness for recovery and wisdom of others. But you lose that armor, and you start to soften a bit, and those walls that we've had, the food wall I had disappears, the walls and layers of fat start to disappear, and suddenly people are touching me and hugging me and getting close to me, which was very uncomfortable for me earlier on in my recovery. I came into these rooms, I didn't want to be touched. I didn't want anyone to hug me. And the first thing that freaking happens at the first meeting I went to, I was hugged voraciously by this woman. And there was nothing sexual about it, obviously, but it was a great hug. And in hindsight, it was wonderful. But something inside of me broke that day, that night. And it was a 100-pounders meeting in Westchester where it broke. And I started to soften. And as time went on, as the weight started to come off and as my emotional maturity started changing, I was a child. When the weight came off enough that suddenly I was becoming attractive to other gay men, which we are the most shallow, vapid group at times in that regard, which I think women can really relate to. As soon as I started becoming attractive, it got really scary. Because not only did these individuals were demanding an emotional connection, but people were actually asking me out on dates. They were approaching me. They were showing interest. I was out with friends, and I'd get a look, and I would completely dissemble. Because I had not, all of my friends went through, you know, adolescence, and they learned those lessons. My size and my arms always being out and my walls did not allow me to have that to learn those lessons. So as an adult, all of a sudden I lose just enough weight and suddenly I'm being thrown into the deep end of the pool, and I'm supposed to know how to date and I'm supposed to know how to interact with others appropriately, which is another thing I had not experienced. And, you know, there wasn't anyone to really give, there's no guidebook to this. And I really started to realize I don't know what I'm doing. And, you know, and sponsors are very helpful, but then they're also limited by their experience too. So sometimes you do have to kind of figure stuff out, and that makes sex really hard. Because not only was I just having sex, I was using sex like I use food. It was a way to not feel. And when I started to realize I can't use it this way, suddenly there's this checklist that has to take place. I had to start thinking, when I'm going to have sex, am I having sex for the right reason? Am I having sex because I just want to have sex? It's fun. It's great. Or am I having sex because I want to connect intimately to this individual I've been dating for a year? Or am I just wanting to have sex because there's something else bugging me, something deeper that I need to examine? And it sounds really troublesome, and it sounds really hard to get through, but I have a checklist I have to go through because I didn't learn this checklist when I was younger. For so many people, I feel for normies in the world, that's automatic for a lot of people. That's my assumption. May not be true, but that's what it seems. And for me, that's not automatic. I had to retrain myself and retrain my mind around sex and how I was going to work through sex and how sex was going to be mutual, and it was going to be not about me being utilized or me not utilizing someone else, which is important. I never thought of myself, I always thought I was a victim. And then when I stopped thinking like I'm a victim, I suddenly realized I was victimizing other people sometimes too. And I needed to make sure that I'm in a healthy place for that. Along with changing the mental side of it and the emotional side is another body issues. I was the chest up person. I was the body dysmorphia. Like, I'd look in the mirror and I'd see, ooh, this hot, svelte man looking back at me. And looks, oh, this outfit makes me look thin. Oh, it doesn't make me look thin. And, you know, I would look in the mirror and I didn't see that. And that's my body issues. Because I never liked what I saw, so I started making up this fantasy of what I looked like. And in program, the work I've done around that is I used to be completely nude. I'd stand in front of a full-length mirror in my house, and I'd touch different parts of my body, my love handles, my belly, my thighs, and I would say thank you. I would look in the mirror, look myself in the eye, and say thank you, which is still is very, it's tough. It's tough to do, but I would say thank you because it's all working. I'm able to stand. I'm able to walk. My heart's beating properly, and I don't have high blood pressure, although it looks like I do right now. I don't have high blood pressure. I am a type 2 diabetic, and what's weird is that happened after 200 pounds of weight loss. Don't understand God's humor, but wreckage of the past. But I still accept it because I'm not shooting insulin. I'm on medication, food and diet. I exercise. I walk 20 miles a week or more. Things I am so grateful my body allows me to do, because I know body issues tie into that. If I don't say thank you for working, mentally I start to say, I look at him, I look at him, I look at him. I'm a guy, so I look at them and say, why don't I look like that? Why can't I look like this? Why can't I wear skinny jeans? You know, and I could, but it wouldn't be pretty. Tried them on. Nope. You know, I look at my boyfriend and I go, why can he wear skinny jeans? Why can he eat anything? Anything. And he moans and groans that he's, oh, I'm so fat. And I'm all, if I only had your weight problem, I'd be in heaven. You know, that would be the thinking, that constant comparing, which is nothing but self-abuse. I'm a master at destroying Christian. Christian does not, you know, I can bring me down in 2 seconds, one thought. And my body issues tied so strongly into my recovery. Because without appreciating my body, if I don't accept my body, because in the beginning, I wasn't willing to accept my body because I didn't even see my body. And when I started touching it and actually consciously acknowledging it, it forced me to see my body. It forced me to not be in this delusional world that I'm a svelte surfer ready to go, you know, ready to wear my Speedo shoot, go to my Speedo model shoot. It wasn't happening. And that reality check has allowed me to also gain my self-confidence, because I realize I have so much going for me with my body. It functions. It works. I have friends who have far worse problems. And you know what? They're normal size. And, you know, they don't look in the mirror every day and say thank you. They're not always happy. So happy, joyous, and free. It includes on the sexual level, refraining from using and compulsively using. And I easily could turn to sex like I turn to food. But being conscious of that and having recovery and abstinence in this program allows me to make that different choice and to go down the checklist and say, nope, 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 this may not be a good idea for me. And the same thing with body issues. You sit there, you have to see your body, be aware of your body, because being grateful for what you have, even if it's not working perfectly, being grateful for what you have is better than hating yourself for what you don't have and may never acquire. You got to love yourself because, RuPaul said it. I love this quote. You know, if you don't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love someone else? Can I get an amen? You know, and it's totally true. I say that to myself constantly. If I don't take care of Christian, I can't take care of anyone else. And right now I've had some other family issues where I've had to take care of someone else. Couldn't do it if I weren't taking care of me because I'd be insane. So I'm just grateful that I've had the guidance from God, from my sponsor, from my fellows who have gone through this ahead of me and said, someone told me to stand in front of that mirror and be. It's hard to stand naked in front of a mirror. I always say, if you haven't done it, try it, and you'll understand what I'm saying. It's really difficult. But to show that gratitude to your body is also like saying a prayer to your higher power, saying, I accept what you've given me. I appreciate what you've given me. And I'm really, really, really working to make this the best, best, best body it can be, the best that it was built to be. And that's all we can do. Progress, not perfection. Our bodies do not have to be perfect. We do not have to look perfect to be desirable. We do not have to be perfect to be desirable. And we don't have to be completely recovered because unless there's a graduation program in this, I don't know, we're never going to be perfect. Thank you for letting me share.
I'm Michelle. I'm a compulsive overeater and body obsessor. Hi. Am I able to say blowjob? I'm not sure. Well, it's a big part of my story. So, okay. So, all right. I guess I'll stick to the format of what it was like, what happened, and where I am now. First time I ever had sex, I was 16, and I was an after-school special. I actually got pregnant after the second, probably the first time I had sex, who knows. And the boy wound up breaking up with me, had the abortion. He got back together with me, and then it was about 4 years of complete mental abuse by him and myself. When I was in high school, I wasn't popular. I had great friends, some that I still keep in touch with, but boys scared me, and this boy was like the high school quarterback of another high school. So the fact that he loved me gave me everything that I felt, you know, as far as my self-esteem. And, the reason why I asked if I could talk about blowjobs is because I remember once we did wind up, we became very sexually active. I lost my virginity to him, and his mother was very progressive. We were able to, I lied to my mom and dad all the time. They were going through a marriage bad marriage that eventually wound up splitting up within those couple of years, like by 18. And, I just remember he would always call me Chunky as like he would be like, come here, Chunky. And his mother is an amazing woman, but she definitely was like, and no offense to anybody that lives in Encino, but she was very like the blonde, and it was the 80s, so it was like the blonde with the nails and the gold Mercedes and the boobs and the whole thing. And so she told him, you know, no one's going to love you as much as I do. And the fact that I didn't look like her at all, like I thought that sexually I was not good enough. But I always equated, let's say if we were laying in bed, I remember sleeping next to him in bed, and he would be an ass, he would be mean. I don't know. Am I allowed to curse? What's happening? Because you went like this, so you got me all paranoid. Okay, so he would be an asshole, and I would give him a blowjob, and then he was very loving towards me. So I do feel that at a very young age, I equated that if I gave you this, then you will love me. And it makes me so sad because I think about, you know, I'm 45 years old and I have friends whose kids are 13, 14, 15 years old, and I look at them as such beautiful children of God, you know, and the fact that they might think those things makes me sad, but I digress. So, it was just from that moment on all through college, I basically prided myself on that I went down on guys and I was really good at it. And eventually it turned to having sex with multiple guys. And I remember I was in a sorority, which was so unlike me. And it was actually good for me because in high school I was so not involved that it was good for me to be involved that way. But the way that I really was involved a lot was with the fraternity houses. And you know, I the reason why I'm talking about this is not to boast. I mean, there's no shame to it because it's my story. But I went through a lot of guys. And I always equated that if I did this with you, that you would love me. And that really has lasted well into my 20s and 30s. You know, I was sitting here when Laura was reading that. Thank you for asking me to speak, by the way. I was thinking about, I have these two girlfriends, they're both normies, and I'm in a very thriving, wonderful relationship right now, and hopefully I'll have time to get to that at the end. And they always make fun of me still where I said, oh, my God, I met this guy, and he was so huge, and the sex was amazing. Like, they always, like, make fun of me. They're like, oh, remember when Michelle's sex was always amazing, and he was the hugest guy. The reality is, I realized, I really don't remember. Like, if I look back in the memory cards of my mind or even through pictures, I don't remember the sex that I actually had with these men, a lot of them. I could think about, like, times that we spent together, dates we went on, if somebody was my boyfriend, relations, like family stuff. But the actual physicality of being in bed and having sex with someone, I would say is slim to none. And it's because I was so checked out because to me, all that I was worth was, I was always told that I had a very beautiful face. So this didn't count, but I knew that this counted. For those of you listening on the thing, I'm pointing to my boobs and my other area. So to me, that's what I was there for. And so when I felt unloved or that the person was going away, and if you think about it, the first boyfriend, he was 16. Really, where was he going to, like, stay? Like, he was not going to be with me. He was not my husband. Do you know what I mean? It was like, of course he was going to run. He was 16. He got a girl pregnant. Like, you know, what did he do? You know, it's like, I forgive him today, you know, for what he did. And so what kind of happened with me, you know, it talks about here on page 64 that I love. You know, this way, 70. It always talks about our stories and what we were like and how we act out with food, how we act out with sex, with alcohol, drugs. But there's the cool thing about OA and all the 12-step programs, but I'll stick with OA, is that it doesn't say your life is futile if you look this way or drink this way and, like, Godspeed or, like, you know, do this and follow it exactly. This gives me a solution. And so when it comes to sex, it says here, to sum up about sex, we earnestly pray for the right ideal, for guidance in each questionable situation, for sanity, and for the strength to do the right thing. If it's troublesome, we throw ourselves the harder into helping others. We think of their needs and work for them. I don't recommend that with sex all the time because then you wouldn't be gratified, but you know what I mean. The thing is, I read that, and with sex, it was always about the boy's needs. I never had an orgasm from sex till very recently, and I've had a lot of sex. And it's because it was always like, what can I do for you so you'll love me? What can I do for you so you'll love me? Am I thin enough? Oh, I'll go get, you know, boys. Like, I would go on diets and get liposuction and take pills and just have sex and do whatever because I just wanted them to love me. And, you know, like Christian said, it's like I needed to love myself first. And this program has, trust me, I go through my days, and for those of you that are in regular meetings with me, I still struggle 8 years in with body obsession and self-judgment. But I think something happens that even though my brain can default to that, something happens that if you stay around long enough, your energy just shifts. And I've noticed that I've never been married, shocking. I've noticed that the quality of men and the quality of the relationships have changed. I've always met nice, great men, except for a few. But the actual reciprocity, is that right? That's the word, right? That I can give to them and that they can give to me simultaneously is a very new concept. And again, you know, I'm in my mid-40s. And, you know, what it looks like today is that I met this fucking amazing man. You know, not online, and that's not to poo-poo online, but I've made my fair share on in those arenas too. And I met this man, and it was because, you know, the online thing for me was another hiding behind. Like, I could be this hot, I could post the pictures that my body looked good in. I could post the pictures that I always looked good in, but showing up, it was like, all right, I'll like, let's get drunk and like, I'll make out with you so you'll call me again. It was never about, do you like, you know, it was never about, do I like you? And, you know, it took me a really long time to learn that lesson. Do I like you? Are you good for me? Not, do you like me? Am I good for you? Of course I'm good for you. I'm a rockin' girl. Like, I've always been a cool girl. I've always had a great heart. I've been smart. Always been smart. Thank you. Successful in whatever I put my mind to. I'm a great friend. I'm a great daughter. And this is not to be conceited. I know that I'm, like, a good person. But when it came to that, I couldn't see. When it came to sexuality and my body and having intimate relationships with men, I had no idea what I was doing. And I'll leave you with this. My boyfriend's moving in with me, and I was cleaning out, in the process of cleaning out my garage, and I found all these pictures of myself from back in the day where I thought that I was so hideously heavy, and pictures from college and high school and the times that I talked about, and I was so radiant and beautiful looking, and it kills me that I went through my teens and my 20s and my 30s, not seeing myself as God intended. And so I make a vow to myself every day that I could start today, you know, that I could start today to love myself because in addition to that, I want to do that for, oh, I thought I just heard at last my love has come along from, that's fantastic because I want to get married to that song. Anyway, I want to also do it for Ryan because he sees me in totality. You know, he sees me in totality. And, you know, I really, at this might sound really crass, but I thought about this. The way that I pay attention to what food goes into my body, I also now have the dignity as a woman who has, you know, sexual relationships with a man. I also have, you know, I also pay attention to what men go into my body. Because it is a temple, and I only have one of them, you know. And I don't know what I said, but thank you, and rock on. Okay.
Hi, guys. I'm Caroline. I'm a compulsive reader. Bulimic. So after that, I guess anything's fair game, right? I'm going to swear a lot. So I wasn't texting while you were speaking, Michelle. I was just taking some notes, too. So I am a compulsive overeater, and I'm a bulimic. So basically when I realized that the way that I was eating would make me heavier, like no one wants to be fat in the third grade, I realized that wasn't attractive, that wouldn't get me in with the popular crowd, et cetera, in early high school. So I learned how to throw it all up. So basically I was having my cake literally and eating it too. So what I take from that is like, I'm going to do, you know, real harm to my body, but so long as it looks okay to you guys, it doesn't matter, you know. So that kind of thinking pretty much was what was going on until I walked into these rooms in 2004. So I smoked it, I drank it, I ate it, I threw it up. So like the inside was like duct taped together and bleeding and hurt and all that shit, but out here was all right, so that's all that really mattered. Oh my God, I'm going to say so many things I don't want to admit, but that's what you get when you're in these rooms, because it's not about me. There's some things that come out of my mouth that people don't know, that I don't want them to know, but I'm up here for, well, there's a feeling. This was not scheduled. I'm up here for the person who hopefully resonates with. Anyway, so heavy through 10th grade. 10th grade, I transformed, as far as I'm concerned, and from 10th grade, so that's what, 15? From 15 down, that girl doesn't exist anymore. Like, we eradicated her. I was home over Christmas, and I found pictures of her, and I was like, oh, fuck. Like, she is real, you know? Yeah, I ran from the boys. They were fucking terrifying. And it's not like they were running after me anyway, because I was heavy, so it was kind of worked out well. But I remember in like the seventh grade, the party is of the, not spin the bottle, what was the other one? Truth or Dare. I found any fucking excuse to leave the room. Like, whatever it was. I was refilling the chip bowl for more than one reason. Or whatever it was, like, there was no way, because I was just too scared. I did it. How do you kiss somebody for 30 seconds? I don't know what that, like, what? No. Stay the fuck away from me. So that's what I went into high school with. That's what I went into college with. And I went to a school with a lot of sluts, let's just say it. And I was in a sorority, and there was a huge, my mascot was a blue hen. So there was this enormous, like, iron statue of a blue hen, and it was right by, like, sorority row, and there was always a joke that if anybody graduated 4 years at the University of Delaware, a virgin, it would fly away. And as far as I know, it's still standing, though it should have flown because of me, because I did it. I could put it all on, like, oh, everything's great. There was no way, like, I kept you so far over there. It was too terrifying. Again, in the sorority, I would go to the formals and the date parties and all that stuff. Any excuse to not go, because I was too scared. Because of what, I don't know how to, I don't know how to say no. Like, how would I say no if I don't want to do that? Or they went, you know. And does that come from me having a disease? Does that come from some bad experiences when I was younger because I was scared to say no, even though I really liked him? You know, I don't know. So yeah, some bad experiences when I was in high school, and always thought that they were my fault because I did like them. And I don't really talk about that, obviously, because I'm not really feeling about it right now. But did that form some of my, like, stay away from me? Maybe. I don't know. I'm also a fucking crazy compulsive overeater, so what's the difference, you know? Anyway, I hooked in my first and really only boyfriend to date, like the one that broke my heart. I broke his. By spitting water on it. So I'm going to, the visual is like sitting on a couch and like, I do it, but that might be weird. Like literally like a fucking 5-year-old. Because I didn't know how to be at the time, 18, 19, however old I was, and have what I think is like, hey, so I kind of like you. You like me too? I was like, and I spit water on him. Like, what? And it was funny because I can play it off. Look at my hair. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, hey, it's like the fun thing to do. And I became like, who is this girl, like, doing this crazy shit? He had no idea. I was so fucking scared to be like, do you like me? You know? Anyway, he did, because it lasted, you know, 4 years. And I learned a lot. And this kind of stuff came up to the point where I realized, like, I don't know what other 20-something, early 20-year-olds are doing. I don't know. Is everyone, I mean, I don't know, having sex. And he was like, did something happen? Are you okay? And I thought, like, oh, my fucking God, is it that transparent? Well, I would think so, because I'm like a ninja. Like, if he came near me, it was like, just for those listening, the visual is like I'm blocking you. Like, I will find your hand if it's coming around here, and I will, you know, oh, the mic, sorry. So it was very much like, again, that same, disparity between like eating it all but then throwing it up. It was like, no, I like you, but don't get too fucking close to me. I'll tell you, you can put your arm here. It's cool because I can flex if you do that. You know what I mean? It's like, you keep, don't get too close. Don't get too close to me. So we dated for like 6 years, and I learned a lot about it, and I recognize that this thing that I do, this bulimic behavior and the shit I do with food, is not normal. And towards the end of being with him, I came into these rooms, and when I did my four-step, so much of it was, abuse to myself and the harm to myself. But then when the sex inventory came up, I thought, I do not have a happy or fun or light-hearted view of sex. Like, it's not fun. It's fucking terrifying. And it's scary. Like, how do you say no? Or how do you just say, I don't like that? I don't know how to fucking do that. It's like, I won't say anything, and then I just have a ton of resentments about it later on. You know? Like, that's how I roll. So that's fun. Hold on. There's another note in here I wanted to... So once in here, I gave up two other loves. One was drinking, and one was cigarettes. And those were all ways to, like, I could put my feeling into a cigarette or feeling into a drink. So once I'm in here, I'm now not throwing up, I'm not smoking, and I'm not drinking anymore, right? And after a couple years single and doing some work on myself in here, the idea of dating came up. And I hadn't dated since said water-spitting experience when I was 20. How do you do that? And why would you want to date me? And like, how do you talk to somebody without some sort of aid, be it a drink or a cigarette? I didn't eat in front of people, so that was a whole other issue. And talk about God having a sense of humor. It was like, well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to have you wake up at 30-something, and you're going to be attracted to a woman. What? What? And I don't talk about that either. So that was crazy. And I thought, well, there's me thinking I know. There's me thinking, like, I'm supposed to be with, like, the stud that can, you know, I don't know, treat me like shit. Or there's me thinking, like, I'm going to keep you as far away from as possible from me. Like, there was no way I'm going to want a woman or what. But it happened. And now I've been with the same person now for almost 5 years. But, and it's the wrong gender. It's not supposed to be a woman. Just so we're clear, you know, as far as I was concerned, I didn't see that coming, you know. And I don't know, I mean, the label that this, like, gay, straight, like, I don't fucking know. Like, I just wanted somebody that wasn't going to hurt me and I wasn't going to be scared of, you know. And it's really funny, like, having that same reaction, like, oh my God, I like this person. What is going on? That same thing, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. Like, there's my defect, controlling it, you know. It wasn't supposed to be this way. And the reason I'm getting emotional right now is that this relationship is going through some problems right now. And a lot of it's caused by me, because that same thing that I'm not willing to look at, that stay away, is still what I do. Like, that's still my go-to. I'm going to keep you over there. Though it's not so much about the body obsession anymore, like, don't touch that, roll, fucking, it's there, touch it, whatever. But it's going deeper than that. It's time for me now to go back through this sex inventory and really get into the stuff, which I don't want to do. It's scary, but I can look at it now, and before it'd be like, oh, I don't care if everything gets ruined, I'll just eat and throw it off. Like, I just didn't have what is what I'm doing going to affect? Like, it just, there was no consequence. That's the word I'm looking for. There was no consequence. I would eat it and throw it up. It's not like I gained the weight, you know, whatever. And now it's like, I learned consequences in here. There's consequences to my action. And the big doozy right now, there's consequences to my non-action. When I don't say it because I'm too scared to be the big V, vulnerable, thank you, that's hurting. That's really detrimental right now. So what do I do about that? I have to do what I don't want to do, you know, which is get up here and say that not only am I dating a woman, surprise, but that I'm not doing it perfectly. nor gracefully, and I need some help with it, you know? And I can't do it by myself. As much as I want to, I want to get through this world, I want to be this size, I want to look this way, I want to do it solo. I'd like to be kind of as I am, a good 3.5 feet taller or higher than everyone else. You know, adore me, put me up there, but fuck you if you love me. Like, stay the fuck over there, just adore me. Like, that's what I want. Or that's what I did want, I should say. I'm learning that that doesn't work because it's really lonely and I need help. To end on this, just driving here, I called someone who, one, is in this room, and two, as I was listening to everybody, was thinking about it, actually gave me the assignment 4 or 5 years ago to write out, I love you, Caroline, I really, really love you, 100 times, I think. And I was like, this is fucking bullshit. And I did it, like the first one, I was like, by the fourth one, I mean just like sobbing, shaking. Like, I don't think I've ever said that to myself before, nonetheless, 100 times. And just sitting there writing it out. And it was like, but I don't. And like, that's what I'm learning in here, that I need to, because I can't save myself, you know, from my own way of being. And my go-to, I wrote it in here, like, my go-to is utter self-destruction, and I'm going to destroy you, too, if you're in my path. I can't change my way of thinking by myself, so I need some help, which is why I'm in here. Thank you.
For those who are listening, as this is recorded, I'm going to read our assignment. Greg, can you set the timer for 20 minutes? There's been a writing assignment if you turn your page over on your handout. And this is what it says. Choose to write a response to any of the 3 following questions. Since there may not be enough time to answer all 3 questions, take this home and continue the healing work with your body. 1, write a letter to your body. Whatever it is that you need to tell her/him, it could be a letter thanking your body for all she/he has done for you, apologizing for neglecting your body, or telling your body what you desire to work on to feel more at peace in your skin. 2, what do you think God's ideals are for you in your relationship? 3, how has Overeaters Anonymous allowed you to embrace your body and sexuality? After, we'll open it up for participation. Can you hold your hand up if you need a handout? If your table doesn't have a handout, raise your hand. We're going to begin open sharing. If you want to make a line over here, sign your name for the release form because we're being recorded. We'll go ahead and start 3-minute pitches. And the timer is in the middle and she'll wave a flag. Thanks.
Hi, Justin, compulsive overeater. Thank you so much, panelists. You guys are great. Kristen, you said something that I really, really resonated with in terms about like pleasing others and that whole thing. And that totally, you know, for me, that really resonated because that's very true with my sexual history. I'm a late bloomer. I just have to remind myself of that. I'm 34 years old. And I am a late bloomer. Both of my sponsors, because I'm in 2 programs, continually remind me of this because when I was in high school, my head told me that I was not good enough. I was fat. I was fat. I was just fat. Here's the crazy part, how this disease works. I'm exactly the size at 34 as I was when I was a senior in high school. I'm actually a little bit thinner now than I was then. And when I look back at those pictures, Michelle, like I found some of those pictures, I was like, oh, my God, that guy's a good-looking guy. Why did I not date anybody? Because, like, in my head, I was like, no, I'm too fat. I can't talk to anybody. One of the blessings of this program, oh, man, a lot of blessings. Went to a wedding during my first year of my current abstinence, and I was down about 70 pounds. I'm currently down 180 pounds. and and this gorgeous woman who I went to high school with, who was a couple years younger than me. I mean, this woman, 5'10", blonde, volleyball player, hot. Yeah, let that wash over you for a second. She comes up to me, you know, Anna's like, how come you never asked me out in high school? And I was like, what? And I mean, literally just so shocked. And I mean, because of this program also, I was able to be honest and be like, honestly, I was just too caught up in my own crap. You know, I wasn't going out with anybody. And that was true through college and into my 20s. Here's something that I never thought. My high school football coach always said to me, you need to do belly busters. You need to do some belly busters. And I was lazy. I would never do sit-ups, even in college when I played in college. This program gave me the willingness to do sit-ups. And this is crazy. This just hit me this week. When I do sit-ups, I feel better about myself. Not in some sort of crazy, like, I got to do 100,000 or whatever. But when I do my normal ab workout, like, I honestly feel better about myself and physically how I move through the world. When I don't do it, it's like, don't touch me, don't get near me, don't, you know, whatever. So that definitely, for whatever reason, like, there's a connection between how I feel about my body, what kind of shape it's in. I mean, I tell my sponsees, I'm like, hey, I feel better when I go to the gym and I take care of myself and I do things to help my body maintain itself. I just physically feel better. And when I physically feel better, I want to physically be closer to people, and it's easier that way. I can say that definitely I resonated. I hope I'm being timed. Who's the timer? Somebody better time me because I'll talk forever. I also had that thing of, like, you know, my sexual history, I was a virgin until I was 21 and a half. I didn't kiss a girl until I was 19 years old. There's that bell. I'll end with this. First time I ever had sex with the lights on in abstinence. It's a scary thing. It's a scary thing. It's a good thing. It can be a good thing, but it's a scary thing. So, thank you.
Hi, my name is Obi, recovering compulsive eater. It's really good to hear this people share on this topic. I think it's so important. I know for myself, I feel like there's so much in my life that I've spent many years that is unsaid, and I think that is a big thing about how we're made as people, is that our bodies like to speak and to engage and to connect. And, you know, for better or for worse, we're all naked under our clothes. You know, and it's almost, you know, God or the Great Spirit is either, you know, laughing or crying or both at the irony of everything, that, you know, we all have these different issues about, oh, this is my pimple, this is my this is my penis, this is my vagina, this is my that, this is, and we're carrying on as if we're the only I'm the only person with a penis. You know, and it's just like that's starting to occur to me, that it's just like, oh, person, you know, human being, we're made up pretty much the same, 99.999 the same DNA. So that's my new mantra, is that I'm okay. Every cell in my body is okay. And whenever the issues come up, I have to go back to that. You know, my body is sacred. Food is sacred. I'm finding everything else is just, it takes me down a path that I cannot figure out. I cannot reason my way back into a sane, sound, happy, healthy body. I have to just assume. You know, at the end of the day, I think that's the great thing about my disease, is that it's taken me back to this simplicity. It's like, you win. I cannot figure this out. I have to assume that I am okay to my core, every part of my body. So I've had a really, really challenging month this month, and I started my abstinence over. Because I felt I knew that feeling. I was just like, ugh. It feels like the beginning again. And it was one of the best things I could do, because it was like, you know what? I'm going to treat this like every morning I wake up, like the birds when they sing, and it's as if it's the first day that you wake up. It's like being reborn. And there are times when I sort of kept my abstinence because that was important. That was important to me because it needed to matter. Each day, each minute needed to matter. And this time it was like, you know what? It feels right to just start over. And if I have to, every breath I will start over, every heartbeat I will start over, every person I make eye contact with, I will start over. Because the closest I can get to God is to accepting that every moment, now and now, I am reborn. That is my commitment to myself, that is my commitment to you, and my purpose to help our growth and our happiness and our humanity. So thank you for letting me share.
Hi, I'm Pam, compulsive overeater. And I'm scared crapless, and so that's why I'm here, and maybe I'm here this whole weekend just for this moment. But I got to read what I just wrote because I think my higher power wants me to hear it. And just to qualify, I'm a 100-plus pounder, and I'm just going to be celebrating 4 years in 1 week, higher power willing. So this is my letter to my body. Thank you. 1,001 times over, thank you. Thank you for my feet. I have asked you to carry a big load for a long, long time. I hope you know how much I appreciate all you have done. I will be careful and thoughtful of what I ask of you from now on. Thank you for my calves. I always hated you. So, you were too big, too thick, too much. You supported me all along, and I am sorry for not loving you. I will show you my actions I will show you by my actions how grateful I am. Thank you to my knees. You started sending signals and noises to get my attention, and I didn't listen. You are much quieter now. I'm sorry for asking so much. I will be gentle and loving and much more flexible in what I ask of you from today forward. Thank you for my thighs. I thought you were my punishment, rubbing together as if to start a fire and punish me for being fat. It was physics. I loaded you down too, and yet you kept moving forward when I asked. I will say I love you and mean it. Thank you for my stomach. You held all the evidence, at least for a while. You were my buffer to keep others away. I made you do the work of two or three stomachs, and I am sorry. I can be aware of what you receive and that you work most efficiently when not at full capacity. Thank you for my sensual and sexual body parts. You I ignored. I was ashamed and afraid, so I did not acknowledge your purpose or beauty. I am sorry for keeping silent. I say hurrah and thank you for going strong and to continue to work beautifully. Thank you for my arms. You just stood by my side, even though I wanted them to swing and play and hug. Thank you for showing me how much you can do. I'm sorry I didn't let you do more. I will reach out at every opportunity. Thank you for my backside. I didn't allow my backbone to stand until just recently. But when I was ready, I straightened up. You helped me to rest, to sit, to sleep, to stand up for myself, and now for others. I'm sorry I didn't see you or value you before. Thank you to my neck and head and face. I paid the most attention to you. I was a floating head without a body, I acknowledged. I put a lot of emphasis on you. I'm sorry. I wasn't able to let you all work together. And now I will be from head to toe. Thank you for my glorious, loving, hardworking, deserving rest of the body, for bringing me to 54 and a half years, going strong, stopping for repairs when needed, and never asking for anything. I will spend the rest of my life treating you with admiration, love, and gratitude, and you have always deserved. There's a little more, but I think you get the idea. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Matt. I'm a compulsive overeater. I have 6 years of abstinence. I'm down 160 pounds from my top weight, and I really don't want to. I really don't want to share, but I need to share on this shit. So here's the thing for me about, I went through a lot of shit growing up where, there was sexual abuse growing up in my household, and there was a lot of fear of just, abuse in general from my older brother and a lot of shit like that. And the thing is, it makes you not want to be touched, and it makes you just rather just keep everybody away. And I definitely think that you know, I completely checked out and completely disassociated from my body. And I think that the physical weight of 160 pounds is kind of a physical manifestation of that. And for me, it's like I got to lose the weight, and thank God, God kept me safe. And I had a woman I was with for the past 6 years, and I'm no longer with her. And now for the first time, I get to be at a healthy body weight by myself, and I get to explore my sexuality, and I get to meet people, and I get to have those experiences. And the whole question, the whole reason why we have these workshops is, how does the program allow us to deal with these issues that come up? And the whole point is, for me as a 100-pounder, is the fact that I get to now own my sexuality. I get to be a sexual person. I get to go out there and I get to experience people. I get to find out what works for me and what doesn't work for me. And the idea of having, you know, to be touched by a woman who you want to touch you has been the most overwhelming and scary sensation I've ever had in my life, because for the first time it puts you right in your body and it puts you right there with yourself. And it's the absolute most scary thing I've ever felt. And quite frankly, I'll be honest, it has nothing to do with love. It has all to do with me. It all has to do with me just finally getting in touch with myself and feeling myself for the first time as a human being and as a man. And how am I doing this? But I'm talking to my sponsors about it, and I'm telling them and sharing with them. And you know what I'm getting the feedback is, that it's not about judgment. It's about getting to experience it. And what I want to say is, like, as a 100-pounder, I believe, like, we are so allowed to be sexual beings and to experience these things. And I'm saying this for myself because I think a part of myself doesn't feel like I'm deserving of it. And I really am. And I really value the big book, and I value what it says about sex, and that God is going to reveal to me what my ideal sex life is supposed to be. And I believe sexuality is such a gift, because I felt for so long that I wasn't allowed to have that. And I believe that if I just stay honest and I allow myself to be vulnerable with the people that I feel safe with, that I'll come to find myself even more and come to respect my sexuality. And more importantly, like, this program has taught me how to be of service. And if we're supposed to practice that in all affairs, and I know I'm always going to be a great lover. So thank you.
I'm Greg, a compulsive overeater. I represent here today the 56-year-old married Jewish guys. Raise your hand if you're in that demographic. Or if you're looking for a 56-year-old married. Well, but I'm married. I've been in OA 6.5 years. I've been abstinent a little over 4, maintaining a 45-pound weight loss. And I wanted to answer the question, what do you think God's ideals are for you in a relationship? Well, first, before I answer that, I will say this, that working these steps is easy in the OA rooms. Working the steps is easy at work. Working the steps is easy in the kitchen. The most difficult place for me to work these steps is in my bedroom with my wife. That's where the true test is for me in the program. Because if I don't work my program there, I will compulsively overeat. Resentments, selfishness, fears will all come up in that area of my life. So that's the hardest part to work it, which means that's where I have to put the most effort. So I wrote, what do you think God's ideals are for you in a relationship? My answer was, I don't know what God's ideals are. I do know that this program, working the steps with my sponsor, allows me to be able to get the intuitive thought, inspiration, or decisions, because I am A, not drunk on food, B, less selfish, less fearful, and less resentful. I didn't say not those things, I said less, and that I'm helping others. If I focus on those areas of the program by working the steps, especially 10, 11, and 12, every day, in the OA rooms, with people in the program, at work, with my wife in a restaurant, but more important, with my wife in the bedroom, in our bedroom, that's where I have the most recovery. That's where I will also, if I don't work the program, like I mentioned, generate the most fear, generate the most resentment, and definitely generate the most selfishness. So what I know for a fact is, when I work this program, I have a better marriage. My first marriage was 21 years. was divorced in 2002. I have two beautiful daughters, 28 and 26. My current marriage, we married in 2004. So she had to bear with me for a few years when I was not in program. It wasn't pretty. I can assure you this, that my current marriage would have ended several years ago without question if it wasn't for entering OA and actually starting to work the steps in this program out of the Big Book. So I'm very grateful. I have a better marriage, not a perfect marriage by any means, but a better marriage because of this program. Thank you.
My name is Jackie. I'm a compulsive overeater. I really did not want to share at all either, but I realized that this was a cry for help because I'm really struggling with this. And it's not the fact that it's the sexuality. For me, it's the identity. I identify with the African-American race. And I identify to what I see on TV. And what I see on TV doesn't look like me. And the beauty that I see is not me. And that is so hard for me to find the love for myself when I don't see me. And it has become difficult because now I have tried to hide it behind my weight. And I've hit it where it's like, well, men don't like me because I'm overweight. And then I lost weight. And now they like me, but I'm realizing that they like me because I'm light-skinned and I have long hair. And I hate it. And it bothers me that that is the identity that I struggle with. And in looking at the writing assignments, I could only look at the last two. What do you think God's ideals are for you in relationships, and how has Overeaters Anonymous allowed you to embrace your body and sexuality? I shared earlier that, you know, God knew me before anyone else knew me, before I was even born. So I know that I was going to experience sex earlier in life. I did it. And God said, okay, I forgive you. But I knew you were going to do it at 16, so whatever. You know, let it go, and I forgive you. Let's walk through this. But now, it's, so God, how do I say I'm sorry for being who I am? And how do I say I'm sorry for the color and the way that I look, and I wish that I could love myself? And all I can say is that God's ideals for me, I hope, are for me to release this bitterness, to release the way I feel about the way I look to Him. I'm sorry, let me read it. Release this bitterness to look to Him and remember that I am a child of a greater being. First, to stop my dependence on society, to break my chain of identity to this world, and to walk in my self-love. And OA is helping me slowly, but you guys are helping me with this, with a constant reminder to just ask for God's help and be willing to ask for it. To go to God, to rely on God, to seek love in a higher power. And it's the basic tools to pray, to meditate, and to thank God. To thank God for every day. Thank you very much.
Hello, I'm Jenna, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm 67, and I've been in OA 2 years, so I came in 65. I've been retired since I was 62, and I love it. But the reason I came is to share is that in age, I lost 100 pounds or more, within the last 2 years because it's safe. Because now I don't have to be afraid of being approached by men, having relationships. I'm too old. And I'm also, my history is I've never been married. I've lived by myself since I graduated from college, and so you can see I'm kind of an isolator. And so I just realized, because it's still very scary, because I still have the belief that bodies are dirty, they're disgusting, they're things you shouldn't have, they should only be talked about in private and covered up completely. And so that's, you know, what I know intellectually that that's not true, but still that child within me thinks, you know, it betrayed me. And I haven't been able to forgive it. So, and I don't know how, you know, at this point, I don't even know if I want to, you know, that's the other part. Why even bother to have a relationship at this age? But I'm willing to grow, but I just wanted to share that in age, that fear has gone. And that's what kept the weight on all my life or my whatever. So, you know, maybe some of you can get past that fear a little younger. I don't know, but it's a possibility. So thank you.
Hi, my name is Emma, and I'm a compulsive eater. I'm also scared shitless. I think that overeating and sex pretty much go hand in hand, honestly, because it has a lot to do with body issues. I've been overeating ever since I was practically, you know, small. I mean, I remember going through the refrigerator just being bored and just eating everything. And it's the same thing with sex. I have a confession to make. I'm a chronic masturbator. I'm sorry that you had to know that. But I think it goes hand in hand because it's one of those pleasure things in your brain where it's just like, God, I have to eat something. And it's just like, oh, I need a soda. And then you get home and it's like, all right, I need to do something else now. And it's really hard because you just keep on hitting yourself and your body is taking all this damage. And I wrote the letter to my body and it was just like, I'm so sorry because I'm a recovering addict. And first thing I do is I shove my face full of crap, and then I snort drugs, and then I just go out with mean people, and it's almost like a cry for help from my body. And here I was, just this freshman in high school, just saying, yeah, woo, I'm a party girl, I'm cool, so anyone would like me. And I thought that's how everyone was. I thought everybody rub themselves raw because they didn't have anything else to do. I thought everybody shoved their face full of food just to get through another day. I remember I had a sleepover with a girlfriend one time and we baked cookies, and I remember I started eating cookie dough and I had bought an extra roll to eat. And it was almost like, what are you doing? And I know that we've all felt like that, like it's just like, it's a shameful thing. And that's why I don't like talking about sex to anybody. And it's really hard because you can't talk about these things in public. It's like, I need help, but no one wants to help me because it's such a shameful thing to talk about. You can't talk about that. And like, God forbid anybody touches your arm or someone comes up to you and says, you know, I know how you feel. God forbid anyone shows any kind of emotion like that because it's just weird. Nobody wants to be that way. So go, people.
Hi, I'm Liz. I'm a compulsive overeater and sugar addict. Thank you to Christian, Michelle, Caroline, and especially Laura for putting this together and extending it so we could all share. This is the one thing that I was like, I have to go to this again. Every single birthday party, I have to go to this because I still struggle with it. I'm 33 years old, almost 34. And I didn't socialize outside of school, regular school and Hebrew school. I didn't socialize with boys until I was 17 years old. I grew up in a very sheltered area. And the summer between my junior and senior year, I not only started taking medication for anxiety, which was one of my culprits, I started socializing with people, and I was able to be around boys. So the whole 7 minutes in heaven, truth or dare, I only knew that because of movies and TV. I never experienced that myself. When I talked to people who went to my same high school and did drugs and went to parties, I was like, what high school did you go to? Because I did not go to that high school. And I was very scared, and one of the reasons I was scared is I had this anxiety, and all throughout my childhood, I was the crier, I was the one who everyone picked on, and that made an effect on me. And I literally, not kidding you, was verbally sexually harassed in junior high, and it still lives with me to this day, and I've been working at it little by little, but as a almost 34-year-old woman, it still is so hard. And these kind of things, everything that you guys have said, I wrote down something. Everybody's spoken to me, everyone in this room who's spoken, but especially you three. Thank you so much. I took everything in, and I just made notes because I need to remind myself of all of these things and identify with something from everybody. And you know what? Thank you for saying blowjob, because for me, it's blowjob. I can't say it out loud. It's too scary. Because I not only grew up in a sheltered environment, I grew up in an environment where we didn't talk about these things, and it was taboo, and now it's affected me. I didn't have my first kiss till I was 19, and I didn't lose my virginity till my late 20s. It was scary. And the guy that I did have a relationship with, it's because he liked someone who looked like me, so I thought he'd like me too. And he would say things that, oh, well, I would be so much more attracted to you if you didn't have those pimples. And I stayed with him for a year and a half. And this is the same person that said to me, I want to marry you, but I want you to be healthy, so you need to lose weight. And he's my Eskimo into program, and I have come to grips with that. God was working through him. I'm no longer with him, thank God. Thank HP. But now, instead of going to someone who, I'm able to realize now that I deserve better. Not even a month ago, and this is where it's come from, not even a month ago, at the table, I'll wrap up, the table with I'm sitting with my mother on Christmas, and she says, you know, I know you've been, she doesn't get OA, I know you've been in OA, but, you know, you really need to go back to commercial diet program because you lost 30 pounds and you look so good, and this is what I've grown up with. Well, what I finally accepted, because I'm on my eighth and ninth steps, is I can't change her. I can't change that's what she's going to think, but I can change how I can react, and I can change what I think in my head. So you know what? I haven't found the right guy because I haven't found the right guy who deserves me. I don't believe it yet, but I have to keep telling myself that. So keep coming back.
Hi, I'm Laura. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater and anorexic. Hi, everyone. Caroline, Michelle, and Christian, thank you so much. They were amazing. I love this workshop. I had, I chose to start it out with the pages from the Big Book because I really struggle in body and sexuality. And even though I feel pretty great in my body today, it's a daily reprieve. And I started reading these pages every single night in the last few months, because I need to figure out what God's ideals are for me, and I don't know what they are. And I've related to everything. And for me currently, like, I like women too, and that terrifies me. Like, I want to just be this, like, straight woman, and, you know? And it's like, for me, sexuality is on this broad spectrum, and that's what program teaches me, is that, like, if I don't get to live in the black and white anymore, then my sexuality doesn't get to live in the black and white anymore, because it's totally in the gray. And that's really scary, but it's such like an amazing thing at the same time for me because, and I'll say it too, like, I'm not a chronic masturbator, but like when I would masturbate, I would cry. It was like my body was like heaving these tears because I have not let myself be with women because of what I thought I was supposed to be. And I told a friend that recently, and I said, I don't know why I cry, you know, and I quit masturbating because I was like, this is so depressing. And I was like, okay, I couldn't stop crying. And I just allowed myself to just know, like touch my body and hold it and just say, like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry that, like, I haven't let you do things that you want to do. But if you just keep showing up for your recovery and, like, you just keep being honest, then you get to do those things. And I really just, the blowjobs, I'm a great blowjob giver, and I really valued my self-worth on that, and I had it down to like the minute and the second. And I needed, seriously, like, we all relate, some of us relate, and I needed to be really good at something. And I thought the other day, I don't even know if I enjoyed that. I just really enjoyed like being a people pleaser. I really enjoyed, like, really, like, literally getting you off. And now, like, 4 years and 9 months into abstinence, like, I'm like, what do I like? Like, how do I like to be touched? How do I like to feel in my skin? And I'm really embracing that now. Cliche, I did not mean to say that, but it is embracing the body and sexuality. So I'm just really grateful that everyone has created the space for me to share this, and that you've all trusted all of us, because I love the honesty in this room, so thank you.
Hi, Christina, compulsive overeater. And I'll keep it quick. Thanks so much for staying late, and thank you to the panel, everybody. It's so funny. I came here because Laura was like, oh, I'm going to be here and helping with this, and I was like, oh, okay, because I always gloss over this. I had on my fourth step inventorium, I had, including all the resentments and then the sub-resentments, there was 960. And none of them, I know it took a year and a half, and but, like, none of them included things with sex. And that was a huge red flag. I was like, whoa. And when I looked over it, and just from what some of you shared, I realized that I had restricted my food, and I had maintained a very, what I thought was the perfect body size. It was like between a size 2 and 4. I had my period stopped for years. I had no period. I've lost calcium, bone density, and I have medical issues because of that. And now, since being in OA, I actually put on 4 pounds, but I got my period back. It comes regularly, which is TMI. But my point is that this program brings me back to the place that's actually healthy, not just what I see out there should be healthy, but what is healthy. And my point is that what brought me into this program is because restricting stopped working for me. So I moved in with my fiancé, and I thought, okay, I'm doing all the right things. I'm getting engaged. I'm moving in with a guy who's going to be an attorney. Like, this is it. I'm on the road to, you know, I'm a size 4. And I was always the fat kid with the horrible pimples. People used to call me the claw because I had a snaggle tooth, and it was just really, really unattractive. And I finally got to the point where I thought it was, you know, ideal. And that's when I started binging at night. He would come home from work, and I would have my safe dessert, which would end up just continuing, because the thought of sitting with him on the couch was so uncomfortable that I didn't want to face it. And to this day, what I realized listening to you, it's still something I struggle with. And I love my husband, and yet it's very challenging. And one of the gentlemen who shared in here earlier, he said, if I don't use the steps in every area, including my relationship with my spouse and in the bedroom, then I will eat. And I always looked at the overeating, and I never looked at the precursors. So now this is a great, great time for me to look at it and apply the steps to that area. Thanks.